The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome to the Daily Racing Podcast here at William Hill, hosted by myself, Bobby Beavers, and I'm delighted to be joined by Andy Gibson on this edition. Andy, always a pleasure to see you. Did you enjoy the 4 days on Presby Park last week?
Yeah, I did. I had a good trip out and, as always, glad to be home. Tiring week, but very exciting.
Yeah, it certainly was indeed. Just before we get your selections ahead of Thursday afternoon's racing, plus your eye catchers from Cheltenham, which could turn up at Aintree in a few weeks' time as well. News has broken out this afternoon that the Brian Ellison train, Definitely Red, will miss the Aintree Festival this year. This is due to the fact that when he was brought down in the Gold Cup, he has sustained an injury because of that. He unseated the rider, unseated Danny Cook, in the race 12 months ago. Should he have gone to Aintree though, Andy? In your opinion, would he have been a likely contender to win the Grade 1 Bowl?
No, I think on the balance of probability, he would be out of his depth in that race, in my opinion. I think he's slightly flattered by his mark. When he beat Black Corton when that one made a bad mistake at Wetherby. I think Black Colton's also a horse that is overestimated by the handicapper. Likewise, Double Shuffle, who is only rated 160 plus because of his form around Kempton, and Definitely Red beat him at Aintree. I think that when he gets it to that, well, if you look at last year, he was running against Might Bite, Bristol Demai, and Clanders Obo. If they all turned up in the bowl next year, and Definitely Red turned up as an 11-year-old, he'd probably be a 20-to-1 shot. So no, the probability is that he would be found out at that level, as he has always been.
We were talking about this earlier on, but just interested to get your thoughts about this. If you owned Definitely Red, would you potentially campaigning for the Grand National again for next season?
I mean, it's a difficult one. The thing is that he's a little bit betwixt and between, because if you run him in the Grand National, he's still going to, you know, taking into account the Aintree factor, the handicap is still going to give Definitely Red something like a mark of 156, 157, maybe even slightly higher. That would make life very difficult for him against horses that are maybe more proven in those circumstances. He walks through the occasional fence. You can understand connections being a little bit reticent to go there. As you can tell by my voice, he's not one of my favourite horses, because I think he tends to be overestimated and has been overestimated for winning races that I think have not taken as much winning as the handicapper has assumed they've taken by raising him up to a market in the 160s, which I think massively flatters him.
If we talk about the eye-catchers of the Cheltenham Festival, there was a fair few, but you've actually got two eye-catchers for us from last week's action, which could potentially turn up of Aintree. One of them in particular, in your opinion, remains really well handicapped.
Yeah, and it's the horse that I'm interested in going forward is Highway 101. Now, when we're looking at eye catchers at the Cheltenham Festival, we can all see horses that come through, finish late, don't quite get up, lead all the way, get collared on the line, and say, oh, I'll look out for them next time. But the problem with those horses is that every man and his dog has seen them. The thing with Highway 101 is that I think the ground went badly wrong for him on the opening day. He was ridden around the outside in front the whole way in the Close Brothers, or right up till the third last fence when he was leading. That might not have been the best place to be. He was also possibly ridden over-enthusiastically, possibly. I haven't done my time comparisons, my sectional times yet, but I'll make a judgment on that later on. But when you look at his form, when he ran last time at Cheltenham and he came second to Kildisart, Kildisart has subsequently finished fourth in the Grade 1 JLT. And on that same day, he matched the time of Cyril Dulac and Yannicka for the final circuit. Now, those two finished first and second in the Brown Advisory. So, in effect, all of Highway 101's time comparison form has worked out brilliantly, apart from his own run, because I think his own run happened to come on ground that was too soft for him. So the form, I think, is very strong. I don't know if he'll go to Aintree, but I'd be very interested in him as a novice if they sent him for the Showers handicap chase at the April meeting at Cheltenham, mm-hmm. over 2.5 miles. And on better ground, I could see that him leading them a merry dance for a long way and running extremely well. And he'll be a very big price, considering how rapidly he dropped out from three out to the line.
And your second eye catcher to take forward is Mr. Fisher in the Supreme.
Yeah, and going into, I did have a small bet on Mr. Fisher, but I must say I had a bet on Mr. Fisher at the point that it looked possible that Fakir Dudarees was going to go for the Triumph, and I thought that that would mean Mr. Fisher would shorten up, and I might sort of play around with the prices there. As it happens, the ground simply went against Mr. Fisher on the opening day. He had no chance on the softer ground. I also had a suspicion going into the meeting that he'd be better on a flat track. It was interesting to hear Nicky Henderson a few weeks ago when he was asked what his best novice was. I think it was clear that Champ was his best novice. But when he was asked what was his fastest novice, he said Mr. Fisher was probably his speediest novice. Now, I would think the top novice hurdle at Aintree, I think it might even be the opening race on the second day, I can't remember. But the top novice hurdle, usually a small field affair, if it's run on good or even good, tending towards good to soft ground, then I would think Mr. Fisher will be a player in that. I wouldn't be interested in him at 7-4, 9-4. But if there was 8-9 runners lining up in particular, and he was a double figure price because of apparently flopping at Cheltenham, then he'd be very interesting, because he certainly didn't flop at Cheltenham. He ran as expected on very soft ground. So he would be a horse, I think, to mark up for Aintree, or at least the next time he runs on a flat track on better ground.
Looking ahead to the action on Thursday afternoon, there is no flat, but we do have four jumps meetings, and I believe your selections are both coming from Ludlow.
Yeah, and the first selection would be in the 4:10 in the handicap chase, the 2 mile handicap chase. It's a horse called Yorkist, Dan Skelton's horse, running for the second time after wind surgery. The first time's run an absolute cracker behind Movie Legend, who went in again. That was at Wetherby in the middle of February. He's running fresh tomorrow, which will suit him. I think the smaller fences will suit him. I know they're not as small as they used to be at Ludlow, but he's run in his last three runs. He's run at Wetherby, Sandown and Cheltenham, and he's run with great credit in those last two runs. He's well handicapped off 133 on past experience on good ground in a small field chase. We're likely to see him at his best, so I expect him to run very well tomorrow. And I wouldn't think he'll be the first or second favourite. I'm hoping he's not going to be, because I hope he'll be a bet.
Yorkist is the first selection of Andy. Where's your second selection? What race is that going to be in?
The second selection is in the following race. Harry Fry has been in better form before. He's had a couple of winners in the last 14 days. But a horse of his, a mare called Definitely an Oscar, pulled up at Cheltenham after running with great promise and moving through very smoothly. That would have been the November meeting, possibly the December meeting. I can't remember offhand. But she looked really, really promising that day. Travelled beautifully. I'm just checking, actually. It was the December meeting behind San Solano. She'd won before at Warwick on the time before that against Barbados, very impressively on soft ground. On the good ground, I think she'll be fine on the good ground tomorrow. She looks really interesting. She's had a nice break. And, you know, I'd be a little bit more hopeful and confident with her compared to Yorkist. But I do think she's an extremely well-handicapped mare off a mark of 121.
So the selections then tomorrow are Yorkist in the 4:10, in the 4:45, definitely an Oscar. As always, Andy, pleasure to work with you here on the Daily Racing Podcast at William Hill.
Cheers.
Don't forget to tune in to William Hill Racing Radio. It's live on Thursday afternoon at 1:55. It's myself presenting Bobby Beavers, and I'll be alongside Leona Mayer and Chris Pimlott. We'll be right back.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.